Exactly when the name of Osama bin Laden began appearing in American intelligence reports and FBI investigative materials is something we are unlikely to ever learn. During the Soviet war in Afghanistan, the CIA was aware of bin Laden's work, arranging travel and training for aspiring mujahideen. But that effort was funded by bin Laden himself, private Saudi citizens, and perhaps the Saudi Arabian government. At the time, Washington was keeping its hand in the conflict as well hidden as possible. The agency maintained a low profile in the region, while Pakistan managed the logistics and operations of the anti-Soviet effort. It is unlikely that any U.S. agent ever came face to face with bin Laden. But in the constant drip of intelligence, White House officials were reading enough to make them worry about one name that appeared with disturbing frequency. When CIA briefers arrived at the White House in 1995 to discuss Osama bin Laden, they described him as the Ford Foundation of Sunni extremism. Aspiring terrorists, the analyst said, would approach him with proposals. Bin Laden wrote checks if he found the projects worthy. What was known about bin Laden was enough to unsettle Tony Lake and Dick Clark. The National Security Advisor raised the issue persistently. Tony was foaming at the mouth about bin Laden as early as 1996, said a CIA official who worked with him at the time. Lake, shy and mild-mannered in public, was legendary within the executive branch for his impatient brilliance, talk faster, he demanded of his staff, and lightning wit. The same CIA official recalled him saying after a briefing that touched on bin Laden's family background in psychopathology, "Oh yes, it's the 50th child syndrome." As fears about terrorism rose, the CIA also began to innovate. Its most important step was to increase vastly the number of renditions it carried out. Rendition is a term of art for the apprehension and transfer abroad, outside the system of legal extradition, of an individual who was wanted for terrorism or other crimes. Renditions may be done for a number of reasons. The country in which the suspect is found may not have an extradition treaty with the United States, yet may wish to cooperate with Washington. Or, more often, the country in question is eager to avoid the publicity that extradition would entail. Before the Clinton administration, there had only been three renditions to the United States. Beginning in 1993, renditions became a boom industry for the CIA. In July of that year, Mohammad Ali Rezaq, who helped hijack an Egypt airplane with Americans aboard in 1985, was rendered from Nigeria. In February 1995, Ramzi Youssef was rendered from Pakistan. Also in 1995, Youssef's associates Abdul Hakim Murad, Ayad Ismail, and Wali Khan Amin Shah were all brought to the United States. The CIA also stepped up its assistance in renditions between other countries. In these cases, the agency helped other governments identify terrorists, even entire cells, operating within their borders. The terrorists would be detained and, with logistical help from the United States, delivered to a third country for trial. These operations were kept secret so that the country in which the terrorist was found, or the one he was delivered to, or both, were protected from charges that they were acting as lackeys of the United States. By 1997, the number of renditions grew as more countries, especially in the Islamic world, recognized that individuals within their borders presented a serious threat to their own security. Renditions were the day-to-day stuff of counter-terrorism. Bill Clinton wanted to be apprised of them and of whatever else was happening in that arena. His attention in this period was strongly seized by an over-the-horizon threat, biological terror. The president's interest was sparked by a dinner with Dr. J. Craig Venter, head of the Institute for Genomic Research and eventual co-winner of The Race to Decode the Human Genome, and by reading Richard Preston's novel, The Cobra Event. Clinton even asked the Department of Defense to certify that Preston's scenario was not outrageously far-fetched. As a result, He came to fear that the next generation of terrorists might well use bioweapons against which America had no defense. A roundtable was convened in April in New York City in the Cabinet Room, including Venta, the Nobel laureate Joshua Lederberg, and Jerry Hauer, director of emergency services, and confirmed for Clinton the gravity of the threat. The experts urged the president to start a crash program to improve U.S. public health capabilities and build a national vaccine stockpile to cope with the pathogens most likely to be used in an attack. Anthrax was at the top of the list.